So GitEx was amazing. I mean, it was like, I don't know how many thousands of people were there, but it was just absolute chaos and just so much going on. And it was very exciting, very good to be there. And again, a great reminder that Dubai brings together this level of energy and excitement around advancement of humanity and technology.
It's quite interesting to me that especially the human focus part wasn't more front and center, because it feels to me like that's been a big part of the conversation from a leadership point of view over the past 2 or 3 years, right? It's like humans first, people first. But it feels like then there's maybe a bit of a disconnect between like what leadership is doing now plus or versus how futurists are thinking about the future. Hi, and welcome to the Expansive Podcast. My name is Eric. I'm a keynote speaker, team specialist, and author. Every single week, we sit down and we host this podcast all about having a more expansive life, about building a more expansive businesses, and really just about upgrading yourself in the best way possible. This is something that John and I am interested perpetually. Like, this is our life's mission. And so we love jumping on here and thinking about it, sharing about it. And of course, as I just mentioned, I'm always joined by my ever elegant, ever expanding co-host, Mr. John Sane, currently sitting in Dubai, but flying back to Cape Town later today. John, how are you, brother?
I am fantastic. Thank you so much. Having a lot of fun here in Dubai. There's a lot happening and very exciting to be in this part of the world where the biggest mission this government has is to bring the smartest people into a city and make it the happiest city in the world. So lots of exciting things happening and excited to share some of them today. How are you and how's Cape Town?
Yeah, good. Why are you flying back to Cape Town? Do you have a talk here?
Yes. I have a talk there and a couple other things to do. I've got a photo shoot happening. But I also saw on social... For my only fans. No, I mean, the only fans I do on Zoom. So, I mean, I don't need to travel for that. Yes, from any hotel room. Okay. Yes, exactly. Jesus, well, that's left field there. Well, this is a professional podcast, Eric. I saw on social media you've started your new book and you're writing a new book.
Yeah.
And what is so funny is that in the same, almost the same day, I also started writing my new book, and we had no idea that we had both started writing a new book. It almost seems like somehow globally some new creativity got burst open, and all of a sudden there's just so much information, so much excitement around, and it's like all those retrogrades left, whatever retrogrades are, but anyway, they left us.
Tell me, how did the idea for the book come to you, or how did you decide it's time to write?
I was at the Museum of the Future. They invited 400 of the world's largest, foremost futurists to the world. They called it the largest gathering of futurists ever, which I actually think it was. And so there was futurists from all around the world. And what I started to see, the glaringly obvious challenge that every futurist has, is the ability to implement actions from workshops, strategies from workshops into action. And I just started to see, like, over and over, every talk and every panel discussion, we're having the exact same challenges. And it just became so obvious that somebody has to talk about software upgrade for humans. And this has been my mission for the longest time. Most times when people talk about human software upgrade, it's really in terms of meditation or self-development. But now that I am connecting futurism and self-development, it becomes so obvious that the application of this within the realm of futurism is so important. And so as I sat there through every session that I loved, but also equally frustrated at their lack of seeing it, and I guess it's because they don't meditate, they're not into neuroscience, they're not into that sort of development of the human, they're much more into the development of the strategies, but what's happening is those strategies aren't being implemented. So you can come up with the most beautiful, amazing strategies, and they just like kind of fall short after the workshops, you know? So and I think it was Richard Branson that said the best businesses in the world are built out of frustration. And I think I'm writing this book based on a frustration of people not seeing what I'm seeing.
Yeah, I love it. Are you happy to talk about the name for the book yet, or do you want to keep that under wraps a little bit longer?
Oh, no. It's a name of a talk I'm giving in Abu Dhabi and in Saudi over the next sort of 2 weeks. That the book is called, and the talk is called Humantra, and it's Human Transformation into the Future. And it's how do we develop, or how do we engage with the software that's been sitting latent inside us for millennia that nobody's told us how and what to do with. Now what we're doing is we're getting more widespread tools around how to access. And this is a combination of psychedelics and the growth of psychedelics in the world. This is a combination of shamanic work that's becoming more common in the Western world, and a combination of meditation. And those three things, they have the pretty much similar impact on our brains, which help us rewire our brains. And I think for the last thousands of years, our brains have just been wired in the same way. And so we have to rewire our brains. And I think this is the sort of idea of Humantra. It's how do we transform a humankind through a process of methodical meditation, psychedelic use, and reprogramming, really more than anything else.
Tell us
about your book.
So before we get to my book, I was listening to an interview earlier the week where this guy was saying, you know, ultimately, when you look at the human brain, it's evolved very, very slowly over time. And of course, that's how evolution works. But he says what we're essentially having to deal with now is ancient hardware that has to deal with increasingly complex environments and rapidly changing environments. And in some ways, like, the brain hasn't caught up, you know, and that's why people feel so overwhelmed. And actually, you know, in some ways, I guess it gave me a solace of some sort, because I was like, oh, of course, it makes sense, like, why we feel so overwhelmed all the time, because you literally don't have the hardware to deal with it.
Exactly, but that's the whole point here, is that we are struggling. And I think in last week's podcast, we spoke about the levels of depression, the levels of pharmaceutical companies and what they're making, and how everybody's numbing themselves rather than elevating themselves. And this is really what my whole last book was about, right? Stop complaining, start elevating. But this book is going to be much more about the science of it and how to actually go about evolving and elevating.
Yeah. So actually, my book came to me, I wasn't planning on writing a new book immediately. Like, it was just, it's been in the back of my head. And then I sat down for a meditation session this week and something just downloaded, right? Like, there was just a moment. It was actually as I was getting into the session. So, like, it wasn't even like deep meditation. And this often happens to me. Like, I'm sure you have it all the time in meditation as well. It's one of the things why I advocate for meditation quite strongly, is because the insights you get from just sitting and just doing the work is actually quite incredible. So anyway, I sat down and literally before even getting into the space behind your breastbone, before getting to that I just had this aha moment where I was like, I want to write a sort of daily inspirational manual for leaders. Because it combines two things, right? It combines my love for leadership and teams and all those kind of things with a style that I'm just good at. I've always enjoyed, from Better Man days, writing these sort of daily reflections or inspirations. And so the book's working title for now is The Daily Leader, kind of jumping off from the Daily Stoic and The Daily Laws, all those kind of books. And the idea is for it to be a handbook or a manual or a guide of sorts where you can come to for inspiration, for new ways of thinking, for frameworks, for models, for tools that can be used by leaders on their own, that can be used as a group, as a team. So I think it marries. There we go.
First day with your mouth, Eric, today? How's it going?
We are recording this on a Sunday. I'll just throw that in.
And also, you just did a whole bunch of TikToks about your marriage. So I was like, geez, that's strange. You're talking about your marriage, Eric. Like, it's amazing. But anyway,
So beautifully marries, I think, utility with inspiration. And so that's where I'm at. I've already
read the Daily Leader,
17 chapters.
Yep. Wow. Jeez, but that tells you you're like on mark, eh? Like 17 chapters, over the last week. That's unbelievable. And also, I think you're the most proud and well positioned to write this book now, your third book. And I think The Daily Leader is excellent. I don't think it should be a working title. It should be the title. And the cover that you sent me on WhatsApp, I think, is excellent. I think you mustn't even worry about the colors are good, the writing is good, the style is good. Did AI design that cover or did you design it?
It's so funny. It's a Canva template. Like, I jumped onto Canva because I always want to have something visual.
Yeah.
Canva, look through all the the different templates, found this one, changed a few things, and then I was like, okay, cool. And then it's actually funny because I went to Dan, so there are four like checkmark boxes on this cover, right? And then the fourth one is empty.
Right.
And I went to Dan, initially it had two check marks and two empty boxes. And she looked at it and she went like, no, like it needs to be that there's only one left. Like it's always like there's one more to go, one more to go. And I was like, you see, like that's why I need to be married. That's why I need partnerships in my life.
So, yes, by the way, I agree. Partnerships are good.
You've been enjoying the TikToks about marriage?
Well, look, I just thought it was strange that you were doing something about marriage, and also the fact that you're so enthralled with your marriage, and it's awesome that you're sharing like a little bit more personal stuff that's going on for you. And I've always tell you, you know, I think you need to share more personally, and I know you're more so reserved than me, but I think it was great. You know, I listened to them. They're great. I think really well done. I mean, you haven't reached the numbers of John Sonne, but anyway, you'll get there. I mean, slowly but surely, the numbers will go. But nobody's comparing, Eric. Like, you know, the great line is, there's no competition unless I'm losing. Then there's bloody competition. But right now that I'm winning, it's no competition, Eric. Well done. Keep going, my friend. I'm there to help you and boost you when you need it.
The funny thing is, there was like a little bit of silent competition that you weren't even aware of, because you took a bit of a hiatus from TikTok, and I was posting, and I was like, okay, how many is he on?
I got to catch him. I got to catch him. Yeah.
And then I went past. I'm like, yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, those are old days. So, I mean, that's 20 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Listen, anyway, let's stop talking cuck. Let's actually get into today's session. Yes.
So today we wanted to do like a recap of your week, because you were at GitEx and then you attended the this mass gathering of futurists. And of course, you attended many, many sessions, learned many things. And we wanted to distill some of that for people who weren't in the room with you guys. So what were your biggest takeaways from, I guess, from the entire week? Like, what has shifted something for you?
You know, if we just start with, I think it's GITEX or GITEX. Actually, I don't know. I've heard people call it different things. It's the world's largest tech show. It is 7 or 8 halls of brands and AI and blockchain and technology and hardware and software that is never ending. I mean, there were brands there that I have never seen ever, and they had huge stands. You know, they weren't like small brands. They were like, and those stands must be a couple million dollars each to actually just put together, besides the sort of expo building. It was just incredible to see the level of technological advancement and the level of excitement that people had around this. And you know, there was about 8 different flying cars. Like, what? Like, flying cars everywhere. It was almost like a dime a dozen. There was a lot of cars that were driverless cars, were both like pod cars, like sports cars, and all sorts of different sort of cars. One guy that I spoke to from China, he was presenting one of these cars, and he said, we're wanting to think about mobility differently. And so this car here can become your lounge. So they were envisaging a house that your car would drive into your house, like click into your house, and it will become your lounge. So the car is set up like a lounge almost, right? And he said, so the next time you want to go somewhere, you just press a new GPS coordinate, this part of your lounge unclicks from your house and then moves towards where you want to go. Like, think about that concept, right? Like, next will be your toilet, right? So like, I'm in the toilet. Okay, now I need to go somewhere quickly. It's almost like these modular homes that are also mobility, like pods that move around. So GITEX was amazing. I mean, it was like, I don't know how many thousands of people were there, but it was just absolute chaos and just so much going on. And eventually everything starts looking the same. So that was Monday and it was very exciting, very good to be there. And again, a great reminder that Dubai brings together this level of energy and excitement around advancement of humanity and technology. And then on Tuesday, the Museum of the Future.
Can I quickly stop you there? How far away are they, did any of them say, from flying cars becoming common use? Like, it must be...
Well, they did... Okay, so a couple of things to tell you. They did a couple test runs on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. So they're all over social media. As I'm sure you saw some of them.
I saw that, yeah.
And also this week, UK has confirmed 180 kilometers of drone highways.
Oh,
and so, okay. Yeah. And so the postal service and the FedExes of the world are now are able to put drones into the drone highway. And now you have awesome. These highways wow. that are being built in the air. Okay. So this is the beginning of having driving highways of flying cars, because obviously if you're moving a 40 kilo package, next will be a 45 kilo human. And then, you know, then they just keep moving up. Right. So I think the beginnings are already here. The drone developments are already here. And this is just the next level of it. But they did the car thing here on the lawn in Dubai. So there were a lot of people there and a lot of photos. And then you got those guys with those jetpacks, right? So you got the guys flying around with jetpacks. So look, I think it's just a matter of time for us to understand the metrics and the safety regulations that are required for what's happening up there. I have no doubt they already are and have been done. They just have to commercialize them, put them into public domain. And I imagine governments are very, very clear on trying to make it as safe as possible, making sure there's no sort of like interruption with the technology around the GPS of the vehicles, all that sort of stuff. So, and all of them were self-driving. So there was, everything was self-driving. There was no self, like you weren't driving yourself, you know, they were all AI driven safe cars.
And for those who haven't seen it, like most of, I'm not sure how all of them look, but I know the one that you're referencing, they all look very much like a drone, like a big drone that's just been blown up.
Yes, with four propellers.
Yeah.
Around. Yeah. So.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah, they look pretty futuristic. They look pretty cool, but there was Japanese ones, Chinese ones, American ones. There was a lot of that.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
And then also, you know, I was doing research. I'm doing talk for ADNOC, which is the largest. Abu Dhabi oil company around the future of education and energy. And I started researching, and there's this new thing called Zap Energy that's a Seattle-based startup that has just done third round or seed C round funding. They've just raised another $160 million. And what they are close to bringing to the world is nuclear fusion boxes that you put in your garage that you'll have endless energy forever that everybody can have for themselves. And this is something that's now starting to become almost commercialized. They're 2 meters big, so they're quite big, with 1 million degrees Celsius inside these systems to create the energy. And they were showing that, you know, they'll be on trains, on buses, in houses, in cities. And all of a sudden, you've got a decentralized power source. And MIT has created one that is 68 centimeters big. So we're starting to see the proliferation of energy sources. So Jeremy Rifkin talks about the third industrial revolution, where the three pillars that held up capitalism are imploding, communication being the first one, and we can know that WhatsApp, Zoom, all of these things are almost free. Next is transportation. And again, every car at this place was self-driving, green, and all of those things. And now Zap Energy on the 22nd of June, actually the papers, I missed it, I don't know why, but 22nd of June, they came out with their latest presentation, and their videos are now all over. You can look them up on TikTok and YouTube. Mm. And now we have free energy that's around the corner for us to start accessing. So very exciting, just having all these minds and brains and all this sharing that's happening. And that was Gitex, whatever it's called. And then Tuesday, Wednesday, I began the Futurist Conference at the Museum of the Future. And what was so very impressive, and I am always impressed when I hear these ministers of Dubai speak. There was a minister of development, like business development. There was a minister of artificial intelligence. There was the CEO of the Museum of the Future. And every single one of them, firstly, are young, 30s, maybe early 40s, female and male, both. Incredibly well-spoken, highly intelligent, and so optimistic and upbeat. And all of them were sharing the message from the Sheikh Al Maktoum, talking about the fact that we are a country and a city that is all about creating the best sort of space for humanity to come together to set the tone for what humanity should be in the future. And they kept saying that, look, we've started it, but we need your input. So please give us feedback. We're all about trial and error. We've started many projects. We failed at some of them, and we're okay to learn from them and keep going. And so they've got a very agile government. Like, think about it. Most organizations aren't agile. Most humans aren't agile. And now what we have is a government that's agile, that's all about foresight, that's all about trying new things and experimenting and inviting people to collaboratively, through collaboration, come up with what the future looks like. And this is really what the gathering was about. And Kalfun, the CEO, who I've become friends with, what an incredible human being, just super kind, generous, so like listens to everybody, just really wonderful guy. And he was saying at the end of it, he's like, thank you so much for the conference. It's really awesome that you're all here. Here's the sort of barcode. Please take a screenshot of it. Please send us feedback. We want to know how we can improve the conference. We want to know how we can improve ourselves. And it was always asking for feedback. And you think about governments around the world, they don't want any feedback. They're like, shut up, you voted us in, get away, we'll do what we want to do. And here you have these ministers are constantly saying, please tell us what else can we do, where, what do we need to do, how do you think we should do that, what we should do here. So that was my broad takeaway, right? And really enthralled by that. And that's why for me, Dubai is such an exciting place. You have the tonality of the ruling family and all of their ministers and excellencies, really highly intelligent and a real mix of female and male, right? Like super high, sophisticated leaders of all ages and definitely of both genders, right? And that was really amazing. Then as far as the lectures were concerned, they were just some impressive, impressive people. I mean, doctors and neuroscientists and Machu Kiku, the Japanese physicist. And they were all doing talks and interviews and sort of panel discussions. And all of them really had very distinct geniuses that were sharing, and it was great. But the glaringly obvious thing, and I've said this in all my videos, and I keep saying it across all my channels, is everybody's talking about technology, everybody's talking about the future, nobody's talking about human upgrade software. Nobody, not one session, not one discussion was about that. I spoke to the program manager, I spoke to the event manager, and I spoke to the CEO of Museum of the Future, and I explained to all of them, I said, your missing point is this, 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 and they all agreed with me. So I'm hoping I have a bigger voice at next year's conference. And look, just very privately and personally, I'm pretty well known in South Africa. I've worked hard to, you know, establish my brand there. And in those circles, I'm definitely on stage speaking. But you know, coming to Dubai and having 400 of the top world's futurists coming, and I was invisible. Like, just nobody knows who I am, what I'm about. And that's a hell of a, like a reality check and an ego balancer, you know.
Recalibration, yes.
A recalibration to how much more work I have to do. Because I kept saying, we need to do this, we need to do that. And like, nobody was listening, but some people were enthralled, but... So it was like a real reality check for me, humble pie, and that's awesome. And that's why you travel and move to a new country and it's reestablish yourself. And so, yes, there's a lot of work to do, and I have a lot of relationships to build and a lot of influence to have and make. But I'm so excited about the challenge and so excited to add this sort of angle into the futurist world and the foresight strategist world. And it was wonderful, you know, really learned a lot. And I've shared this on social media. I met a monk from Japan that has Zoom sessions with executives and has conversations with them and then takes AI to break down the tonality of their voice and show where their stresses are and then unpack that AI with them and make it a coaching process for the future. Like the way he was angling it, like it was unreal, like the way he was describing it. And then I met the head of people for the NEOM city in Saudi, who Kate, who I've become friends with. I met one of the head of innovation for Lego, an amazing lady. We chatted with her. And I've also become friends with her, and just like just amazing people doing amazing things, trying their best, and just having a really good time in the museum of the future. And then I topped it off with a interview with Euronews, and Euronews is kind of the most watched news channel these days, more trusted than CNN and those sort of, with 110 million people watching it. And so they reached out to me on Instagram out of nowhere and asked whether they could interview me on my new book, and they've been following me on Instagram. And so we topped it off with that, which was just a cherry on the top and a delightful surprise that I wasn't expecting. But really great way to end the week. And and now this week I'm going to be in South Africa for the next few days. And so, yes, this is the Dubai lifestyle. Lots of learning, lots of collaboration, and lots of moving around.
Those pics of you, were like the two of you took together, were phenomenal. But I wish there was a shot of just you, like, because you had that one where you were sitting with the Museum of the Future behind you like that. Do you?
I've got a lot of them. Sure. I just that didn't post.
Amazing. It looks so great.
But that is the roof of that Museum of the Future, you know? That's where all the conferencing was.
So cool. Yeah.
Yeah, it's so cool, eh? Very, very cool, eh?
Listen, so coming away from this week, I mean, I know it was more of a week about the future, showcasing technology, showcasing the utility of certain innovations and whatever it may be. But are you coming away from this week doing anything differently?
Yeah, I'm doubling down on software upgrade for humans.
So you feel like the biggest thing is the openness of that space, yeah.
That is the gap that nobody's seeing, that I am seeing. And always remember that disruption doesn't come from inside a system. It always comes from outside a system. And I said to you off air, I'm a kid from Edenvale, dude. I have made it into this circle of people. I don't have a PhD. I've not been to Harvard. I've not been to Cambridge. I've not been to any of these institutions. And I feel like I'm a disruptor because I'm coming in left field, because I just haven't had the legacy thinking these very, very smart people have. And even the foresight sector needs to be disrupted. Like, every sector needs to be disrupted. And I just feel that the angle of the human software upgrade just is missed by them. And I often say to them is, when you get the human to think in a new way, you don't have to even do a strategy session. The human themselves will figure it out. It's like you're trying to force an old program into a new world. If you change the program itself is self-fulfilling and self-propelling. And so it's really just they're missing the point. So I also feel enthralled and excited that I'm sharing it and they're looking at me like I'm weird. But guess what? Every new idea is weird initially. So I have pushed this idea onto Kalfan, I don't know, 3-4 times now. And he's very kind and very gracious. I mean, I really enjoy him. But he hasn't, like, I don't think he's like really grabbed it yet. You know what I mean? He's been kind and listening to me, but it'll click. And when it does click, they'll be like, it was that guy. He was saying this all that time ago that we needed to start implementing, you know? So I have a vision and intention and a goal of opening that conference next year with this tonality of human focus rather than technology and AI focus.
It's quite interesting to me that, especially the human focus part wasn't more front and center, because it feels to me like that's been a big part of the conversation from a leadership point of view over the past 2 or 3 years, right? It's like humans first, people first. But it feels like then there's maybe a bit of a disconnect between like what leadership is doing now plus or versus how futurists are thinking about the future.
Well, look, I think even in the leadership space, when they say human first, they're not talking about meditation and rewiring your brain.
No, they're not.
Exactly. So, yes, I think the message, and I think it's the cool thing to say, right? Are people first, but what are you doing to your people? Like, they're the same people. Okay, so like you give them flexibility and adaptability. You make sure that they've got career paths and you make sure that they, but you're not upgrading. Like, there's not upgrade happening there. So I think everybody's missing that point because nobody's mixing that world of neuroscience into the world of business as I think they should.
Brother, thank you so much. I think that was a great session. I really enjoyed it. Lots of takeaways, highlights. Thank you for allowing us to vicariously live through you for the
thank you.
Conferences that you attended. So everyone, thank you so much for spending time with us. As always, we do this every single week. If you enjoy the podcast, if you enjoy the insights that get shared, the takeaways, then the best way to show us some love is to go over to iTunes and leave us a a 5-star review. We don't really do 4-star reviews on this podcast or 3-star reviews. We only do 5-star reviews on this podcast. So thank you so much for your time. We love spending time with you wherever you are. And until next week, goodbye.
Ciao.